Good morning again, Focus. It's good to see you today and not only have the opportunity to be a part of worshiping with you, but also preaching today. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Abby Sawcheck. I am a Chi Alpha director at UW-Madison, so all that ramen is probably going to end up in my living room where we're going to staple a bunch of invite cards on. And Chris was asking me, he's like, do you need help with that or volunteers? Like, we will take anything. Usually it's like five or six of us for about like 10 hours the night before, just like stapling. But yeah, so normally it's kind of funny. I love when I get to come here and be a part of helping worship with you, because I also, not only am I a Chi Alpha missionary, but I also am a pastor of a church that we just planted last October, New Culture Church, which I know you guys pray for and have been so supportive of us in this. So thank you. Yeah, so it's kind of funny because, so if you were to come to New Culture, some people, if they heard me sing, they would be surprised, because most people don't even know I sing unless like every now and then I'll fill in for worship because I'm always preaching. But then I come to other churches sometimes and they see me take the microphone to preach and they're like, I didn't know you preach. And so sometimes I feel like I have like two different church pastoral identities of like Abby the worship leader, Abby the preacher. But you guys get to enjoy both today, which happens occasionally. So here we go. We're doing it. Yeah, but I did just want to, real quick, shout out to Alonzo over here who is playing keys. He's one of our Chi Alpha students. He's one of our incredible worship leaders that leads worship with us also at New Culture. So we actually, this weekend, we have been in Baraboo, Wisconsin, leading worship at a camp for a bunch of high schoolers. So Alonzo's been with me and a couple other Chi Alpha students. So when Pastor Ryan texted me, he said, hey, can you come and preach? And then this week, he told me, he said, so we're in this series, We Starts With Me, and we'd love for you to preach on worship. And I was like, great, that's all I'm doing all week is worshiping at the camp and then here. And then, yeah, Alonzo will also be leading at New Culture tonight. So he's kind of on tour this weekend a little bit. So you guys, if you see him, thank him for coming and serving today. Yeah, so I'm so excited to be here with you guys. And just wanted to share a little bit, when I'm thinking about worship, it's really such a part of kind of my story and what the Lord's done in my life. But a lot more of what I used to think worship was compared to what the Lord has now shown me and taught me that it is and how he views worship. But these topics are always intimidating when you get something like this to say, how do you in just a few minutes here try to preach on worship? Because the Bible talks about worship, Old Testament to New. It's a very common word. It's a very common thing that you see people do. And so before we get started and kind of dive into the text or anything like that today, I just want to start you off with saying I'm in no way an expert. We are not going to cover everything that Scripture says on this, but rather I'm just going to highlight a few things when it comes to worship that I feel like the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. Does that sound good today? So We Starts With Me. I was listening to Pastor Ryan's message last week because I wasn't here with you, but I love when he was talking about the parable of the sower, and he talked about what it looks like for us to have hearts that are receptive to God's word. Because for so many years, I was in that spot where I put so much of how I experienced God on other people. I put so much on how I was interacting with him, on how I was obeying his word on other people. So if all of a sudden I was in a spot where I felt like, God, I'm not refreshed. God, I'm not feeling filled. I would go through the list of some of the things he talked about last week of saying, well, it's because this pastor isn't deep enough. Or it's because, you know, when that guy prays, he prays kind of funny. And so that's why I'm not hearing from God. And you can go on and on and on. And sometimes it's a lot easier and it's a lot more comfortable to stay in that spot when we just start to make everybody else responsible for how we hear from God and how we walk in obedience and follow him. And that's where I spent a lot of my life. But what the Lord has shown me, and I'm excited that you're going through this series of this idea of We Starts With Me, because there's so much power in that statement. There's so much power in realizing that each and every one of us was created by God with purpose to have relationship with him forever, and that he wants to use each and every one of us, and he wants to speak to each and every one of us, and we're all going to play different roles in that. But I want you to know tonight that you can hear from God, and that you can hear directly from him, that there's things he wants to speak to you, but we are responsible for how we receive that and how we respond to that. And we have to start to feel the weight as a church of that responsibility. I have only been a pastor for 3 years, and so this journey of these past couple years, the Lord has given me so much grace and allowed me to have so much grace for ministers and church leaders in my life in the past. Because what I've realized is even in moments when I have a microphone, it doesn't mean I have it any more together than anybody else in this room. But it's as simple as saying, I'm going to be obedient and Lord, be your vessel for the seasons and the positions that you've placed me in. But for so long and for so many people, we still place everything and every other people on these pedestals, making them responsible for how we hear from God. And that's this comfortable place that we stay instead of taking responsibility. And so I'm excited to talk about what it looks like to start, for us to start with worship as individuals. We starts with me. And I'm going to talk about two things. Really going to talk, the title of this message is preparation. Preparing our hearts for eternity and preparing the way for Jesus. So I'm just going to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, God, for the way that you have created each and every one of us. God, for the way that you have pursued relationship with each and every one of us. For the ways that you want to speak to us and the ways you're calling us to respond so that we can grow in deeper relationship with you. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that, God, you would speak through me. Lord, if there's anything that I say today that's not of you, help people to forget it. God, if there's things that they need to hear, would you just put that on my heart, God, and would you speak to them? Lord, we just surrender this time and this word completely to you and for your glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So what is worship not? So a lot of times we think of worship only in certain contexts. We think of worship as coming to church. We think of worship as singing songs. We think of worship as music. At least that's how I was for a long time. See, when I first felt God call me to ministry, I was 12 years old, and I felt this urge to go and to do missions work. And through the years, I had been given opportunities to sing and to do music to the point that when I was getting ready to graduate high school, I was going to move to LA and I had a songwriting internship all lined up and I was going to pursue full-time music. And I was in this spot where I knew that these things were good and these were gifts that God had given me. But what I slowly realized in those months leading up to that point is that I had placed so much of my identity in this stage, in this platform, in this idea of this thing that I thought that God had told me to do, but I had lost heart of what he was really calling me to do, and that was to live a life of worship. You see, we can have moments of worship through song and through music, but what God is calling us to do is to have a lifestyle of worship. And so a little bit of my story is this, is that as I was getting ready to pursue that, God got a hold of my heart and he said, what I have for you is more, but it's going to be taking walking in faith and walking towards a lifestyle of worship compared to just these moments. And so fast forward, I ended up going to Bible college and studying pastoral studies where I graduated and then moved here to be a pastor in Madison. And this is nothing that I ever thought that God would call me to do when I felt like he put this lifestyle of worship on my heart. But now I look back and I say, God, this is what worship looks like. It's not just these moments of singing songs, but it goes far beyond that. And I'm so grateful for that. This week at this camp, our first night, if you know anything about music, hopefully you'll be able to envision this with me. We had a little bit of a train wreck for our first song. So if you've ever been to a summer camp, and maybe if you are a youth or a young adult here, you've been recently, right? You get this like a couple hundred teenagers packed in this room. I mean, they have been like ready for this night. They're pumped. They're excited. Like the band, we've been prepping all day. Like we're ready for this moment. We're like, we are going to worship. Like we're going to be the ones that bring them into the presence of God. So we start, we have a click track that we start. And we get all the kids clapping. So kids are clapping. They're jumping. They're going crazy. They're like ready. But we realized we played the wrong click track and the wrong tempo for not the song we were about to play. And our guitar player had a capo on his guitar that he forgot to take off. So he started playing in a different key than the rest of the band. So now we have these kids clapping to a wrong beat that we're playing. We're singing in two different keys. And we're like looking at each other like, what is this? What is happening? And it was a train wreck. And these are those moments where I'm like, wow, Lord, I'm glad that worship is not just hitting the right notes and singing the right words and singing in the right key, because we are not doing that right now. I'm happy that worship is so much more than that, and God redeems it and restores it. And tonight we're going to try the song again, so you can pray for us, pray that the kids forgot about that moment and we can restore it. As I was preparing for this, I started to go through. I love word studies. I love looking at the Greek language and the Hebrew language and looking at what those words meant in the Bible. And again, worship, it's a big one. There's a lot on it. But I want to kind of go through. I'm just going to read through, and it'll sound a little bit choppy, some of the definitions from Old Testament to New when the word worship was used. So it says, worship, to labor, to work, to do work, to work for one another, serve another by labor, to hurt, pain, grieve, displease, to bow down, to magnify, to devote, to express excellence, dignity, grace. Worship which one prescribes and devises for himself contrary to the contents and nature of faith, to serve, to do service, to heal, cure, restore to health. One who sweeps and cleans a temple is one of the definitions for worship used in the Old Testament. One who has charge of a temple, one who adorns, to fear, to be afraid, something that is honorable. These are all different ways that the Bible describes worship. Now, I think that when we look at how, if someone were to ask you, hey, what is worship? When do you worship? I think a lot of us, it'd be safe to say, we say, oh, we sing songs, and then this is what worship is. And I do that too, because that's one of the ways that we worship God. But what my heart is I want you to see that when we are worshiping and when we are singing these words and living our lives every single day, that worship is so much more than that. And I want to read from you John 4:23-24. John 4:23-24, it says this, says the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So we're going to ask a couple questions today. And the first is, who do you worship? Who do you serve? If we're going off of some of those definitions, who do you adore? Who do you devote your time to? Is it the Lord? If you were to look and open up your schedule of how you spend your time, is that going to point to say, hey, the one that you're devoted to, the thing that you glorify the most, is God and your relationship with him? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because I know that depending on the day that you ask me, that could or could not be true. Depending on how I decided to spend my time that day. And what I'm not saying is this, is I'm not saying that, hey, to spend time with family or work or sports and all those things, that God can't use that and glorify that, because he can. But when you were to sit down and think, who do you worship most? What is that thing that you hold above anything else that you glorify and you devote and you serve and you spend all your time lifting up? Is that God? And the next question is, how do you worship? How do you worship? Do you worship in settings like this through song? Do you worship maybe listening to music in your car on your way to work? Because when we look at how we should worship, it goes far beyond that. In saying that worship is going to be more than those songs, but it's going to be maybe getting up a little extra early to serve your husband or your wife or your kids. That is worship to God. Worship to God is, yes, driving your kids to all those practices and doing all that, but through that, still glorifying his name. There's a few verses I want to read on this. It says Psalms 102, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. I love this. This is why we sing songs, and these words and this music today was intentional. Perks of when you get to lead worship and preach, you can choose the songs and make it flow. But when it says, God, this is what living looks like, this is what freedom feels like, it's praising God, it's worshiping him, it's being excited, it's being joyful. That's the kind of worship he's looking for. When he's saying, how should we worship? Man, worship shouldn't be something that we're not dragging our feet to do. Worship shouldn't be something that we're complaining about, that we're saying, man, I wish this girl's voice wasn't so tired today. Worship should be something that we're joyful and we're excited about. And I love this, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This verse, I feel like the Lord has been speaking so much to me through this. When we worship, we are preparing the way for Jesus. We are preparing the way for him to come and to enter into other people's lives. I want you to think about that in your workplace, with your families, with your friends. When you start to let your light shine, when you start to serve other people, when you start to go and to humble your heart and bow your heart and say, I'm going to put them first. I'm going to be selfless like Jesus was selfless. Other people are going to see your good deeds, and they too will be turned to that same light and start to glorify our Father in heaven. Man, what an incredible thing it is for us to think about that. When people walk in this room and they hear us singing and worshiping corporately, that they would come in here and they would feel the presence of God in a way that says, wow, man, that's the kind of life I want to live because of their excitement, because of their joy. And they start to glorify our Father in heaven. This is the power that worship can have in these moments together and in those everyday moments every day of our lives when we can worship and we can continue to position our hearts in that way. I love this quote. It says, true worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. It says, going back to that first passage, to worship in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. And you see that both are equally important there. To say that when we were made a new creation, that God's spirit is now inside of us, that our bodies are a temple for his Holy Spirit to come and to dwell in. And so we can worship with that spirit. We can feel things in that deep emotional way with his spirit. And that's why you see people raising their hands. That's why you feel that joy. It's because of his Holy Spirit in us. But then also remembering that truth, that sound doctrine. So it is, it's important for us when we're talking about in our daily lives, what does worship look like if we're talking about it being all of those things and not just through song. Right, so sound doctrine, following his word, the Bible, the truth. I want to point out again and go back to that list at the top that I was reading. One who sweeps and cleans a temple, according to the word of God, that is worship. Serving, doing those things that probably nobody else wants to do. That's worshiping in spirit because you're having to rely on the spirit and not your flesh. And that's worshiping in truth because you're being obedient to what God's telling us to do. And there's one other one that I found so fascinating when it talks about to weep and to grieve and to feel hurt. You see, worship is something that can be rejoicing. But worship can also be feeling those deep emotional things with people and serving them in that way. The next thing that I wanted to read, it says this, it says, while the external forms that our worship takes are not insignificant, they are not the essence. And that's what I've been talking about with saying that, man, there's power in our instruments, there's power in our voices. They're not insignificant, but they are not, in essence, the heart of worship and what God is calling us to do. One of the biggest things that I try to focus on when it comes to worship is this. Is what does worship look like and how is it the same singing songs here and doing things like sweeping the temple, the dirty work that nobody else wants to do? What does that look like to worship him in spirit and truth in both those ways? And I think so much of it comes down to this, is that whatever we fixate on, we start to illuminate. When we zoom in on something and we focus and we draw all our attention there, that's what we start to see above everything else. And so when we put ourselves in these moments, when we are physically serving people, when we are encouraging them, when we're being kind, because even when we don't want to, it's all putting others first, essentially dying to our flesh, again, following that truth. walking in the Spirit, we start to continue to glorify and fixate our life and our actions on God the Father and who He is. And that's when we start to see others come along and glorify Him, because they're going to look at the lives that we're living and they're going to say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why are they always so kind? Why are they always putting me first? It's because our heart is so set on who God is that that is who we are lifting high above everything else, and our lives will start to follow that same direction. And then that's why it's powerful for us to do things like read Psalms as a form of worship. Man, I love every day opening up my Bible and reading through the Psalms and reading that out loud when I feel like it and when I don't, and lifting high the name of Jesus and remembering who He is and preparing my heart for that eternity with Him. Because when I start to do that and when I start to fixate all my attention and all my emotions on who He is, then in those moments when I don't feel like serving people and worshiping in that way, it's a little bit easier because I remember, hey, Abby, it's not about you right now, but there's someone else who we're trying to glorify here. And that's the power of us coming together and singing these songs and worshiping, is that we are continuing to, with our mouth and with our heart and with our life, say, Jesus, it's you above everything else. And we're going to sing it and we're going to proclaim it and we're going to believe it. And then that's when we will see other people come and worship along with us. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start in our daily lives. It's got to start in our hearts of saying, God, it's you and your name above everything else that I'm going to glorify. So we're going to go to a couple more passages here. If you have your Bibles with you and you want to turn to Matthew 26 in just a second, we're going to read verses 6 through 13, Matthew chapter 26. The last question when we're saying, okay, who do you worship, and processing through that, and we're saying, how do you worship? And then we're saying, when do you worship? Sometimes it can be at church, sometimes it can be through serving people, but we're going to read a couple stories of people in the Bible who worshiped. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 says, now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant and said, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Okay, there's a lot to this passage, but there's a few things that I want us to kind of draw our attention to here. So Jesus is sitting there, and this woman comes in, and it describes this as being very expensive. And she comes up, and she pours this oil on him. And the disciples are looking at him, and she's like, why is she wasting this? Like, this is not the time, this is not the place, any of that. But what I love about this woman here, and what I want us to grab hold of this morning, is that she was willing to go, she was willing to sacrifice something that was expensive, something that was of value. She was willing to surrender that and serve Jesus in that moment. Get this, when nobody else was. She was worshiping and pouring herself out and pouring her life, her possessions out on him when nobody else was doing it. I want to ask you today, are you willing to worship in those moments when you don't feel like it? Are you willing to worship in those moments when nobody else is with you? Because those are the types of true worshipers that Jesus is talking about when he's saying, worshipers that will worship me in spirit and in truth. And I want you to catch this, is that she was fully devoted to him, but you can tell she's worshiping in spirit, because if that's me and I'm the only one and nobody else around me is worshiping in that way, like, that's uncomfortable. That's awkward. Like, I'm gonna feel nervous. I get social anxieties. Like, I don't wanna do that. I want nothing to do with that. So we know this wasn't her flesh, Right? This wasn't something that she's just like, hey, nobody else is doing this, but I'm just going to do it to be, you know, cool and stand out a little bit. No, like you can feel that within her of saying, man, God is calling me to worship him in this moment. And I don't care if anybody else is with me, but God, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to fall to my feet. I'm going to pour everything out that I have for you. Man, I believe that there's some of you here today that God is asking you to rise up in that way. He's asking you to say, hey, in your workplace, even tomorrow morning, will you walk into that office? Will you walk into that school? And will you worship me in spirit and truth? Will you worship me in spirit and not your flesh and not your feelings, no matter what anybody else is saying around you? Will you continue to rise up and glorify my name? Because when you do that, that is when we start to prepare the way for Jesus. That is when we start to prepare the way for other people to come and to see our joy in doing that. And they too will glorify our Father in heaven. Our worship is powerful. I'm going to read in Acts 16 next. Acts 16 in verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Verse 23 says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you see this? What must I do to be saved? So after he's seen the power of God move in their life through their worship, through their praise, he's falling to his knees and he's saying, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At this hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is a powerful story of praise, a powerful story of worshiping in spirit and in truth. So when do you worship? All times, all places, on all occasions. Because worship is not just a moment, but it is a lifestyle. Worship is not just a feeling. But man, it's walking in faith and saying, God, even when I'm not feeling my best, God, even when I'm faced with all these struggles, with all these trials, Lord, I'm still going to worship you. Even when I feel like my hands and my feet are tied and there's nothing I can do, there's still one thing I know I have control of, and that is my worship towards you. So God, I'm going to pour it out. When nobody else is doing it, I'm going to pour it out. And as you see, other people see that. Other people see that there is power in our praise and power in our worship. And they come, and they're going to come running when they see you worshiping in those situations. And they too are going to come, and they're going to say, how can I have this type of relationship? Tell me about this Jesus, this one that you glorify. Our worship is preparing the way for Jesus. And our worship is preparing our hearts for eternity. Alonzo, if you want to go ahead, you can come up. I cannot wait for what it's going to be like someday when it's not just a room this side praising and worshiping and lifting high the name of Jesus. But the magnitudes, right, the thousands and thousands of people, of believers that are going to be in heaven for eternity worshiping Jesus. And something that I've been thinking about lately when I process what is eternity going to be looking like for us, what's worship going to look like for us there. So I think this is right now in these moments, we make the decision of where are we going to spend eternity, right? Of are we going to let Jesus Christ, the one who came and died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, come into our lives? Are we going to say yes to that relationship? Are we going to say yes to following and serving and worshiping him so that we can spend eternity with him? But then I've started to really process this idea of then, like, how are we going to spend eternity? And there's a lot of unknowns to that. But I think about this, is that it says that we are going to be worshiping with the angels, right? That we're going to be singing with the angels. And we're going to be spending eternity with Jesus if we've asked him into our hearts on this side of eternity. But when I get to heaven someday, I want there to be history with me and Jesus. Well, when I see his face, man, I don't want it to be this unfamiliar face that I don't know very well. I don't want to be singing songs and things that I don't really know and understand. But man, when I get to heaven someday, I want it to be like the greatest reunion with my deepest, most loyal friend, with someone that I know, with someone that I have spent my life devoting to and worshiping. And so when we worship on this side of eternity, man, we're preparing our hearts for what it's going to look like forever. We have the opportunity on this side of eternity to practice this lifestyle of worship that someday is going to be forever. And that can be this daunting, kind of scary thought to think about. But when we spend time in his presence, when we spend time continuing to surrender and sacrifice so that others can come and know him and that we get to know him in deeper ways, we're preparing our hearts so that someday when we meet him face to face, we have that history, we have that connection. It's like that old friend that we know so well. And that worshiping with the angels is gonna be something we are so excited to do because we've been practicing, we've been preparing, we are ready for this. But we starts with me. We starts with us choosing in the moments when we don't feel like it, the moments when nobody else is looking like the woman who poured out that oil. The moments when we are in pain, when we are suffering, man, when it's taken everything to die to our flesh and let the Spirit worship through us, we have to worship then. When I think about we starts with me, I also think that we starts with Jesus. When you're talking through, reading through what worship is, that man, that it's adoring, it's glorifying, it's serving, it's sacrifice, it's mourning, it's grieving, it's all of that, it's rejoicing. Man, Jesus did all of that for us. He set the example, right? He's not calling us to come and to do something that he already did not do. Because when he came and he walked on this earth, man, he served and he worshiped and he glorified our Father in heaven and everything. He was the light that came so that we could see the Father in his heart for us and enter into that relationship. And so when he's saying, hey, will you now come and will you worship in spirit and in truth? He's not asking us to do something he hasn't already done. Man, talk about suffering. Talking about worshiping and glorifying the Father through that suffering. Jesus did that on the cross. So know that you're not alone in those moments when you're like, God, I cannot worship you right now. That's why we are a new creation and we have his Holy Spirit living within us. That's why we need to step out in faith and not rely on our flesh. Because we starts with Jesus and we starts with his church of saying that we are all a part of the body of Christ. And we need to feel that weight. We need to feel that responsibility together of saying, yes, we will be the true worshipers that rise up so that your name can be glorified. Yes, God, we will prepare the way for your son, Jesus, with the way that we treat people, with the words that we speak, with the words that we sing. God, we're going to prepare our hearts for eternity because we are longing for that day when we see you face to face and we're singing these songs we've sang 100 times and we know them the back of our hand. God, we're so excited for that. So we're going to spend, like we do most weeks, the next few moments worshiping, and Aubrey's going to come in just a second and give some instructions, but I want to encourage you when we talk about why do we worship in these settings? What's the point of it? Man, I know that there's days for me when I walk into church and I'm tired. There's days for me when I walk in and I really don't want to be here and I really don't want to sing sometimes. I don't feel like lifting my voice because my heart might not be there in that moment depending on what's going on in my life. But the power when the body of Christ comes together and I can come and I can sit here with whatever I'm feeling, with whatever I'm facing, and I can be encouraged by the people around me who maybe they're celebrating something. And so I can say, you know what? My flesh isn't feeling it right now, but I'm going to celebrate with my brother and my sister in Christ. There's power where two or three are gathered. The Bible tells us that's where he's at. That's where the power of God is at. You see power in scriptures when Paul and Silas, they start singing and praising together and the jail cells, they shake. Man, there's power in our corporate worship. There's power when we come alongside each other and we encourage each other to say, hey, maybe you can't sing for yourself right now, but I'm going to sing and I'm going to lift high the name of Jesus. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to carry those burdens. I'm going to serve you in these moments because when we sing together, we are helping each other. We are reminding each other of what it's all about, of why we're really here. When we sing about Jesus, man, we are reminding our hearts and our spirits that we are here to prepare the way for him, to glorify our Father in heaven, and to prepare our hearts for eternity with him, and to take as many people with us as we possibly can. And when we lift high his name, his spirit starts to come and to work in our lives, and all of a sudden we start to die to our flesh. And those things, those problems, those the trials that we're facing, they don't seem so big anymore when we start to fixate and focus all of our attention on how great our God is. So would you do this? Would you just stand with me? And with your eyes closed, I just want you to take a minute. And I want you to ask God. Ask God to just come and to help you surrender everything to him for these next few minutes as we begin to sing and we begin to worship. Would you just in your own way start to tell him, God, I'm putting you first in these moments. Lord, I'm lifting your name high no matter what I'm facing, no matter what situation I'm in. Because we believe, God, we believe that when we sing your name, God, that when we lift your name high, that you are there, that you are with us, and we start to fix and focus all of our attention there. And we might not always feel like it. We might not always want to, but that's why we worship in spirit and in truth. We worship in spirit saying we're dying to our flesh. No matter what we feel, we're focusing our attention on you. God, and we're doing that in truth because we are being completely obedient in what you are asking us to do when we lift high your name. So God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just come and just flood this place as we worship you. God, in the same way that those walls have fallen, God, that the jail cells were just shaking, God, we just pray that you would come and you would move in our hearts in that way, in our situations, as we lift high your praise and focus on that. Lord, we invite you to come and just please move. We need you to move in our lives and our struggles and our situations today because, God, we are nothing without you. So, God, we ask that you would use this time to just prepare the way. In your precious name we pray. Amen.